In your Bible today to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to speak to us today from a verse of Scripture that Pat and I often remind each other of. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I pray that the Lord will bless this message to all of us here today. You know, the text, it isn't difficult to understand, is it? It's simple. It's easy to understand. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's easy to understand, but it may not be quite so easy to practice. And that's the thing I want to speak to us about today, a message that I trust will help us to heed this exhortation and to be diligent in giving thanks in everything. I've divided the message into three parts. First, I want us to see one thing that this verse doesn't say. And then secondly, I want us to see one thing this verse does say. And then third, I want us to see another thing that this verse says. So first of all, one thing that this verse doesn't say. It doesn't say, for everything give thanks. It doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say, for everything give thanks. Now, as children of God, we should and we do give thanks for everything that God has given us. When we came into this world, we brought nothing with us. And we should thank God for the many gifts which He has bestowed upon us. And I think of the scripture that the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, asking the believers there, "What hast thou that thou didst not receive?" What do you have today that you did not receive? We brought nothing with us, so everything we have received. And I want to mention a few things for which we are to give thanks. Now, as I said, this verse doesn't say, for everything give thanks. But we know that as children of God, we have cause to give thanks for many things. One thing, we thank Him for our beings. We thank God for our beings. We would not be here if it were not for God creating us. We would not be here if it were not for Him giving us beings. The scripture says, in Him we live and move and have our being. We would not exist apart from God. And sometimes the question is asked, well then why did God create us? A friend of mine told me recently, a man told him who heard of God's sovereign grace, he said, well, it would seem strange that God would create a person to put him in hell. And I said, God never did that. God never did that. God has created every man for His own glory. That's the reason all of us are here. That's the reason that all men have been created for His glory. The scripture says, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. We thank God, first of all, for our being. We would not be if it were not for Him. And He has created each and every one of us for His glory. And all men will glorify God. Some men will glorify His justice, no doubt about it. But many will glorify His grace, no doubt about that either. But all men are created for the glory of God. So first of all, we thank God for our being. Second, we thank Him for the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul said, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Now, who can that refer to? What can that refer to? It doesn't refer to a what, does it? It refers to a who. God's unspeakable gift. And that can only refer to one person, and that is His darling Son. Thanks be unto God. We thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. That is the gift of His Son. The Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And think with me this morning. When we give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ, God's unspeakable gift, let's remember how He gave Him. He gave Him to be our substitute. He gave Him to be the substitute for His chosen people. He gave Him to be the sin offering. The sacrifice, the one sacrifice that does put away sin. We thank God for His unspeakable gift. That is, for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God gave. And He gave Him to be our substitute, to stand in the place of His people and experience the wrath of God for the sins of His chosen people. He gave Him to be the sacrifice, the one blood sacrifice that does, yes, put away the sin. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's what the Scripture says. And we thank God for that one offering, for God's unspeakable gift. He gave Him to be our substitute, to be our sin offering. He gave Him, if you notice, if you still have your Bible open here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look back to verse 9. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath." You see, salvation, God's salvation, is by appointment. It's by God's appointment. Paul is writing to believers in the church at Thessalonica, and he tells them, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but He has appointed us to obtain salvation through or by our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's the only way anyone obtains salvation, is by our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the next verse. "Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep," in other words, whether we are living or we have already passed away when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. So we thank God for our beings. We thank God for His unspeakable gift. And third, we thank God for causing us always to triumph in Christ. I want you to turn to this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We thank God for causing us to always triumph in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now, thanks be unto God. That's what we're talking about, right? Thanking God for our beings. Thanking God for His unspeakable gift. Thanking God for He always causes us to triumph in Christ. Now, the word triumph means to be victorious, doesn't it? To be the victor. And it is in Christ. You notice that. He says, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. That is, in Christ, we triumph. In His righteousness, we are justified. In His death, which satisfied God, we are accepted. In His resurrection, we too are raised. And in His intercession for us, we are always victorious. We always triumph in Christ. You cannot be in Christ and not triumph. You cannot be in Christ and not be victorious. Because God, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Number four, and I'll ask you to turn here as well, Colossians chapter 1. We thank Him for making us meet to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 12 and 13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. Now that word meet, it means to qualify. That's what it means. It means to qualify. Thanks be unto God, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. When you think about God making us meet, God qualifying us, think of what all He had to do, what all He did to qualify us to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in life. We're talking about everlasting glory, the inheritance, heaven, enjoying God throughout all eternity. Think of all that God had to do to qualify us, to make us meet, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. To walk with the Lord God in eternity. What did He have to do? Well, first of all, He had to choose us. He had to choose us. Because we never would have chosen Him. Being dead in trespasses and sins, as we all are when we come into this world. Enmity with God. Saying no to God. I will not have this man to reign over me. That's all of us by nature. First of all, to qualify us, He had to choose us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And the first thing He mentions in Ephesians 1, as He hath chosen us in Christ. Secondly, not only did He have to choose us to qualify us, but He had to predestine us to the adoption of children. He predestined us. That's what the Scripture says in Ephesians 1. Predestined to the adoption of children. You know, some people, when they hear that word, and I'm talking about people who claim to be Christians, and they hear that word predestined or predestination, they just go wild. What foolishness. What Bible do they read? Not this Bible. Scripture is very clear. He hath predestined us to the adoption of children. To qualify us, choosing us, predestinating us to the adoption of children, and then thirdly in that passage, making us accepted in the beloved. Did God the Father accept His Son? When He ascended back to the Father, did not the gates of heaven bow before Him? The King of glory coming in? And just as the Father accepted Him, so He accepts us in Him. Never apart from Him. We're never accepted in our own name, our own merit, our own deserts, but accepted in the Beloved. To qualify us to be made partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. In the book of Isaiah, we read, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of righteousness. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Just like the father of that prodigal told his servant, get the best robe, and put it on this my son, for he was lost and he's found. And so God the Father has clothed His sons with the best robe. And it is the robe of His Son's righteousness. And we are accepted in Him. Here's the fifth thing. So I say, this verse, it doesn't tell us for everything to give thanks. But we do have a number of things for which we give thanks. For which we give thanks. We thank Him for our beings. We thank Him for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Him for causing us to always triumph in Christ. We thank Him for making us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And think about this, to make us meet, He had to give us repentance. Our Lord said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Well, repentance is a gift. He has exalted a prince and a savior for to give repentance unto Israel. And He had to give us faith. You see, saving faith is a God-given faith. All this to qualify us. And number five, we thank Him for all the creature comforts of life that we enjoy. All the creature comforts of life that we enjoy. You and I have been blessed to live in this country where there is an abundance of things to enjoy. But at this point, I would sound a warning. I was reading again the book of Ezekiel. And I noticed there again, I've noticed this before, I'm sure you have as well, that in speaking to Judah, he told them that even Sodom, we're all familiar with Sodom, and how God rained fire out of heaven to destroy that city. But God told His people, Judah, that they had actually done worse than the people of Sodom. And then He said this about Sodom. He gives these three marks of that city. First of all, pride. Pride. Second, fullness of bread. And third, abundance of idleness. Now, if that doesn't apply to our country, those three things, I don't know what does. Pride. We've become so proud, we don't need God anymore. And there's an abundance of bread. And there is an abundance of idleness in this land. Okay, number two. One thing this verse does say. In everything, give thanks. In everything. It doesn't say for everything. But we do give thanks for a number of things. But this verse says, in everything, give thanks. That means that in every circumstance of life, we are to give thanks. Now, the circumstances of life are divided into two parts, into two divisions, prosperity and adversity. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 and verse 14, we read, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set this one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. Prosperity, adversity. And we should consider that God, yes, God is the one who has set one over against the other. And all of us here today, I'm sure, would acknowledge that we have experienced days of prosperity and we have experienced days of adversity. God has set one over against the other. It's God who did it. It's God who does it. It's not fate. It's not the alignment of the stars. It's God. Someone said, well, what's the difference between fate and God's providence? Well, what's the difference between a robot caring for a baby and a mother caring for a baby? What's the difference? Robot could be programmed to do everything just right. But there's a lot of difference between a robot and a mother caring for her baby. We do not believe in fate. We believe in God's providence. And yes, there's a purpose for everything under the sky. And it is the purpose of our Heavenly Father. In everything, give thanks. In prosperity, we are to give thanks. That's included in that verse where we read, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. It becomes us to give thanks to God, enjoying what He has given us. And it's easy. It's easy to give thanks in the day of prosperity. You might say, well, what would you call days of prosperity? Well, I've listed a few things here. Days of youth. Days of youth before the evil time comes. The scripture speaks about in Ecclesiastes. That's a day of prosperity. Days of youth. Days of health. Charles Spurgeon. Many of you are familiar with him. He said this, and I confess right now, I haven't arrived to this. But he said there's only one thing better than good health. Bad health. As I said, I haven't got there yet. I know why he said that. In bad health, we're more engaged and more turned toward God. I recognize that. But days of prosperity, days of youth, days of good health, days of abundance, the manifold blessings of God. But in adversity, in everything, we are to give thanks. And what do I mean by adversity? Well, there's so many things, but I wanted to name this. First of all, spiritual turmoil. I'm talking to God's children today. When our adversary, the devil, is attacking, or when the old nature seems to have the upper hand, when we're harassed with doubts and fears, That's certainly a day of adversity for a child of God. You say, well, I never have any of those things. Well, you better check up. You better check up. You never have any days of adversity, days of turmoil in your spirit. Never have any fear, never have any doubts. I'm not praising these things, but let's face facts. We still have an old nature. We have a new nature. Yes, absolutely. And if it were not for that, we would never give thanks. But in everything, give thanks. In spiritual turmoil, in afflictions, maybe afflictions of the body, maybe problems in the family, maybe financial problems and difficulties, just on and on and on. But in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, this begs the question, if we are to give thanks in everything, in adversity as well as in prosperity, then what are we to give thanks for in adversity? Let me mention, in adversity, we are to give thanks because we have a faithful God as our Father. We do. We have a faithful God as our Father. He cannot deny Himself. I had a friend years ago. He's since gone to heaven, but he used to make a statement something like this. He would say, God would just as soon starve the angel Gabriel as to prove unfaithful to one of His children. That's so, isn't it? That's so. He's not going to starve Gabriel, and He's not going to forsake one of His children. If you notice further down in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 24, we read, "Faithful, faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it." In adversity, number two, in adversity, we are to give thanks because we have the promises of God. You know, Satan's temptations are great, but the grace of God is sufficient for every trial. The Scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. In Isaiah, God said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. In adversity, give thanks for the many promises of God. Someone said, if we never had any adversity, a good deal of the Bible would not be of any use. It's in adversity, in afflictions, and in trouble that we find these precious promises in God's Word, and we believe them and are comforted. Number three, in adversity, we are to give thanks because our God is the God of all comfort. And He comforts us in all our tribulations. And He does so in order that we may be able to comfort others. And think of this. If you are a child of God here today, do not refuse God's comfort. You may. You may, at your own loss, do not refuse God's comfort. You say, well, how does He comfort us? He comforts us with the Word of God. How many times have I known a person going through a trial and affliction, and one of the first things that person does is stop coming to worship God? That's probably about the worst thing you could do. You need to be. If you're in affliction and trial, God's going to comfort you. Yes, He's the God of all comfort. And He's going to comfort you with His Word, through His Word. But the worst thing you could do is turn away from the Word of God. And number four, we in adversity are to give thanks because of the many examples we have in the Scripture of other believers who were in adversity. Some of them severe, severe adversity. I think about Job. And it's hard to imagine a worse case scenario than he was in. I mean, everything he had was gone. All of his property was gone. His children were taken away. His health was taken away. And his wife, his helpmate, gave him such horrible advice. She said, curse God and die. And yet, in the midst of affliction, he still thanked the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I thought about Daniel, too. When he was under that edict to be destroyed with all the wise men in Babylon, and yet he gave thanks unto the Lord, recognizing God as the God of all flesh who reveals the secrets of men. The Apostle Paul, he was in great affliction, wasn't he? He said, Satan is a messenger or thorn in the flesh as a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And yet, it was through that experience that God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. Whatever it is, got out of grace? Is he completely run out? Not hardly. In everything, give thanks. And then, in adversity, we are to give thanks because we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We have one who can. He's been here, and he was tempted of Satan, yet without sin. You just look and read about his temptation there in the wilderness, and remember this, he knows, and he may be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The psalmist said, he remembereth that we are dust. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He remembers our frame. We're just made out of dust. That's all we are, just made out of dust. Abraham, that saint of God, when he prayed, he said, God, I'm nothing but dust and ashes, speaking to you. God's grace is sufficient. In adversity, we are to give thanks because this is part, whatever it is, this is part of the all things that work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. This is what our text says. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Whatever our situation is at this time, this is God's will for you. It's God's will for you. It's God's will for you to give thanks. He is the sovereign ruler over all things. Our Lord said this, not one sparrow. How many sparrows do you think are in this world? Not one falls to the ground without your heavenly Father. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And thirdly, one other thing that this verse says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How many times have you asked yourself, and how many times maybe have other people asked you, well, I just wonder what God's will is for me. Well, you don't need to wonder anymore. You don't need to wonder about that. I don't need to wonder about that. Three verses of Scripture which clearly tell us God's will. Number one, in John 6:29, this is the work of God. This is the will of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. That's God's will, that you believe on Christ, that you trust in Christ, submit to Him as your Lord and Savior. Secondly, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. This is God's will. And thirdly, our text this morning, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Easy to understand, isn't it? May God give us grace to practice in everything. Learn to give thanks. We're going to sing a hymn and then be dismissed.